The church say amen.
Amen.
The church say amen again.
Amen.
And one more time for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We thank the Lord. How many of you have made it through one more day's journey? How many of you know that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you would not have made it? And so it is only by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God that any of us are here today. We thank the Lord for these men who have lifted up this song of praise, reminded us in song about God's grace and God's mercy. We welcome all of you who are in the house of the Lord, looking for a word from the Lord, looking to praise the Lord, and looking to lift up His holy name. To God be the glory for the great things that the Lord only He has done. It is our summertime worship experience, and so we dress down a little bit more casually. As I say to folk, the only requirement I have is I don't see Brother Counselor. It's good to see you in the family. Only requirement I have is that we don't see more skin than we do clothes. Amen. Brother Adrian Counselor, send up Brother Counselor. He's the founder and editor of Positive Community Magazine. We get these magazines in our front office. Send up Brother Counselor. We'll do a little advertising for you. Founder and editor of Positive Community, which is a publication that covers the houses of worship from New York to New Jersey, and I think even stretching over to Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken. It's a tri-state area, going up to Connecticut, doing great work, and we're so glad his son and his daughter-in-law and their baby are being, the baby's being blessed today. The family is here, but I say that because I don't want more skin in than clothes in Positive Community Magazine when you print the pictures in the magazine. But we have a good time over the summer for the month of July and the month of August. We dress down and come as you are. It's always come as you are, but we're just a little less stringent with the ties and everything else on July and August. Why don't you stand to your feet, turn with me in your Bibles to the Psalm of 118th Psalm, the 118th Psalm. We thank Deacon Golf and company for helping to lead worship today, and the men and all who have participated and helped to lead in our worship experience. As you're turning, you do know that we have our community fellowship, a cookout right after the 11 o'clock service. So those of you at 8 o'clock, if you can come back, we invite you to come back. And those of you who are listening on our radio broadcast, come on by and have a time of fellowship and worship with us anytime between 1 and 3. And if you want to come to 11 o'clock service, come on back at 11 o'clock and we'll go right to the cookout and fellowship after the 11 o'clock service. Say amen. We've located Psalm 118. Psalm 118. I'm not going to read all 29 verses. I'm going to select a few that are representative to help configure our sermon today. I'm going to start in verse number 1. Psalm 118 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever." And then I want you to see in 2, 3, and 4 a trilogy of statements that start with the subjunctive "let." Let Israel now say, "His mercy endures forever." Let the house of Aaron now say, "His mercy endures forever." Let those who fear the Lord now say, "His mercy endures forever." Go down to verse number 8. "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And then I want you to go down to verse 22. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." And then this very familiar statement, verse 24, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon. This is the day. This is the day. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that your words, given, printed, written, and spoken, would not return void, but that your word, O God, may accomplish that which you intended for it to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged, may minds be illuminated, and ultimately, O God, may souls be convicted today. Have your way, and we shall be careful, God, to give your name glory, praise, and honor. For you alone are worthy to be praised. This is the day that you have made, and God, we are certainly going to rejoice and be glad in it. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. And let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say, amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated. We thank the Lord for, ushers, you may be seated. We thank the Lord for every day we wake up. Right? You should realize that every day is a day of thanksgiving. God has been good to us. And when you think about all that the Lord has done and all that the Lord is doing, you can't help but come to the conclusion that I've got to pay my vows to the Lord while I still have my very being. The Lord is worthy of our praise. The Lord is worthy of our thanksgiving. We often say that we thank him for what he's done, but we praise him for who he is. And so on this morning, we come. I've been in Psalms for several weeks now, meditating and studying. And I did a trilogy of sermons in California last week for the revival and 55th anniversary services of the Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church, my home church in Los Angeles. And we talked about praise. I gave the seven Hebrew words of praise as a defining series of understanding when the Bible speaks about praise. The Psalter is about praise and thanksgiving. All 150 number of Psalms is about how do we praise the Lord, and what conditions do we praise the Lord, and what circumstances do we praise the Lord? When do we give God thanks? For what do we give God thanks? How do we give God thanks? How do we praise the Lord? With what instruments do we praise the Lord? The Bible speaks about praise and thanksgiving as a summative reality that no matter what we go through, we are still commanded to praise the Lord. Amen, somebody. And so praise is what we do when we're going through. You know the song that we've made very familiar in our churches. And if you think about the number of praise songs that we sing, I said in California, Hezekiah Walker's familiar praise song right now is the reason it's topping the praise chart. Not only is he a gifted and anointed gospel music writer, but he has hit on something that is at the center of our Christian identity. And I would even say our Judeo-Christian identity. And that is that we are called to praise God. And the Bible, particularly the Psalms, speak about our praise to God. Psalm 100 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. For the Lord is good, and indeed his mercy does endure forever. We sing a number of songs that has praise in it. We often define praise and worship as a preparatory experience to get in a mindset of receiving from God. So praise is something that Christians, believers, must engage in, must do, must understand, must be familiar with. There are seven words that the Hebrew Psalter, the Hebrew text, use for praise. And I said to the the audience in California, you can think of them in bodily expressions. Number one, the word todah, T-O-W-D-A-H, todah, and yada, Y-A-D-A-H, yada and todah. Both are Hebrew words to extend your hands, to lift your hands. When I think about that, when I'm praising God, every now and again, I ought to lift my hands. Sometimes I lift my hands to say, thank you, God. And other times I lift my hands in complete surrender to God. And then thirdly, I lift my hands to point to God from whence cometh all of my help. I don't want folk to be misunderstood. My help doesn't come from there. My help doesn't come from there. My help certainly doesn't come from down there. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So every now and again, when you are praising, I know everybody don't praise the same. I know there are quiet praisers. There are very, very stabilized praisers. But every now and again, go ahead and lift your hand up and extend your hands towards the heavens and say, Father, I surrender. Father, I thank you. And Father, I know that it is you and only you from which my blessings do come. Anybody got to lift their hands today? Anybody not afraid to lift their hands to the Lord just to say, thank you, God? Even wave them now. There's something called a wave offering. There's something called a praise, a hand offering. You can clap your hand, but every now and again, lift your hands. So yada and toda is about lifting your hands. It's in the book. The Bible says, I will lift my hands towards the heavens. There is a notion of praise that is bodily that has to do with your hands. Another one that has to do with hands and fingers is zamar, Z-A-M-A-R. It is a word that means to play the harp or play your stringed instrument. David played the harp. And when David played the harp, the Bible says that Saul's vexed spirit actually became calmer. And so all of us don't play harps, and all of us don't play guitars, and all of us don't play stringed instruments. But whatever instrument you play, right, there's a notion that when you play it, when you are praising God with the instruments, you are praising Him with indeed something with which He is to be praised. So think of the three words, zamar, yada, toda, in Hebrew as lifting or dealing with your hands or your finger. There are two words that deal with other bodily expressions. One is the word shabak, which means to kneel. Think of Barack Obama, right? In point of fact, in his native Kenyan tongue or dialect, the word barak means bless or blessing. And so when you barak, you're actually bowing, you're kneeling before the Lord. The Bible says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, for He is our God. I know not everybody's able to get down on your knees, but I heard somebody say, before I learned theology, I had to learn neology. Come on, somebody. Before I went to seminary, I better have learned how to get on my knees, Brother Council, and learn how to get a prayer through. I know some of us pray in sophisticated ways, and some of us pray with our eyes closed and our hands folded, our hands bowed. But every now and again, I've learned like grandmama learned. I gotta get down on my knees and say, Father, I stretch my hands to Thee. No other help I know. If Thou withdraw Thyself from me, where would I? I've got to get down on my knees and bow before the Lord, because God is worthy of our bowing down before Him. If we can pay the president homage by bowing and pray the king and the queens homage by bowing in their presence, how many of you know the Lord is greater than President Barack Obama? The Lord is greater than the Queen of England. If we can bow before man and woman, you ought to bow before the Lord. One way in which we praise God is bowing or kneeling. Another word, way in which we praise God, Brother Council, is the word shabak. You've heard this word. It is the Hebrew word which means to shout. And so just think of the two S words. Think of the alliteration of shabaking and shouting, because to shabak is to yell out. It is to shout unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I can't sing like Aaron and Marvin do, but every now and again, I just got to shout out something. Hallelujah. I just got to shout out the Lord is good. You can be in the supermarket and folk can look like you crazy. Don't mind me, I'm just shabaking. Just shouting unto the Lord because he's been good. And when I think of the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, it shabaks, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. And then the other two Hebrew words are words that start with, that use the double consonant LL, halal, which is the root word for hallelujah. And another word, tehillah, which is a word that means to shine for the Lord. And this is where I do give credence to our quiet worshipers and praisers. Because you may not shabak, you may not tada or yada, lift your hands. You may not barak and get on your knees, but every single one of us have to tehillah, or we have to halal. We have to reflect the glory of the Lord. We got to let somebody know the glory is not us, but the glory belongs to the... I'm just a roll post pointing back to a God who's up in heaven. I'm just a reflection sign letting somebody know that I serve a God up there. Don't look at me. I'm just reflecting the goodness of the Lord, the light of the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So these seven Hebrew words deal with praise. They deal with praise, and the book of Psalm is about praise. And so I've been looking at the Psalms. Actually, several years ago, it took me 3 years to do it at our Friday noon worship services. I preached all 150 number of Psalms. Preached one Psalm a Friday. And those of you who were inaugural members of our Friday noon worship service, remember those sermons. We have them all codified, and I reflect often on what did I learn from preaching about the Psalms, the songs of praise. In front of you are blue hymn books, and they have psalms in them, songs of praise, right? All to thee I surrender, all to thee I owe. Right? These psalms are songs. Some are hymns, some are spirituals, others have been transformed into contemporary gospel songs, but they're all songs, and all of us ought to have a song in our spirit. All of us ought to be able to praise the Lord with some kind of reflection, that you may not sing in harmony, but you pray unto the Lord, and it is, it becomes your song. Has anyone ever sung a song unto the Lord? Has anyone ever given God thanks? Not only in the good times, but also in the bad times. We've got to sing our songs when we're up and when we're down. We've got to sing our songs when we got a lot and when we don't have a dime in our pocket. We've got to learn how to sing our songs when we're well and when we're sick. We've got to learn how to sing our songs when we're on this side of the Red Sea and when we get on that side of the Red Sea. We've got to sing our songs when we're on the rough side of a mountain and down in the valley. Anybody ever sung a song to the Lord lately? Sing your song. And point of fact, in the text today, it says in verse number, look at the Bible, it says in the middle of this psalm, it talks about what it means to sing and to go through the gates of God in praise. It says in verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord, for this is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. I want to use three words in this psalm, Psalm 118 to talk about the notion of praising God. And the notion of what does the day mean? This psalm actually has three or four very familiar statements that we use in this church and in many churches. There's a psalm that we sing, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." And that comes right out of this particular psalm. Verse number 1 and verse number 29 of this psalm says that. That is where we get that song. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For he is good. And so this psalm helps us to encapsulate this notion of giving thanksgiving. Remember, thanksgiving is often when you do something for someone and the response is thank you. Grandmama said, right, folk don't have to be nice to you. So the least you can do is say thank you. And if people have been nice, how much more has God been nice to you? Come on, somebody. Don't get me started how he washed over you last night. Woke you up this morning. Put something on your table to eat and a little something on your back to wear. God has been. Go give thanks unto the Lord. That's why the psalm writer says, I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. But the first word I want you to note is the second part of the opening statement. For his mercy endures forever. And if I can just dwell on that word mercy, put up verse 2 and 3 and 5. The second slide says, let Israel now say, let the house of Aaron now say, let those who fear now say that the Lord, his mercy endures forever. That is the statement that opens up this song, is a statement about God's mercy. And you do know that his mercy is different than his grace. It is the same side. It is the other side of the same coin of grace and mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve to have gotten. And grace is getting stuff you didn't deserve to get. And when I think about the mercy of God, I think about his judgment and his righteousness. I think about the fact that I have sinned, and I'm going to baptize two of these candidates here today, and I'm so looking forward to baptizing young Miss Ramsey and Miss Shayla Parker, because they have come to a realization that God has been good. I've asked them to think about what sin is in preparation of getting baptized. John the Baptist says, I baptize for the repentance of sin, and we get baptized because Jesus did it as a model and example for us of what we should do, but we really are getting baptized to wash away our sins. When I think about what sin is doing the things God told me not to do and not doing the things God told me to do. He told me to love my neighbor. I don't always love my neighbor. He told me to pray for those who despitefully use me. I don't always do that. He told me to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. I don't always do that. Yeah, I mean, you know, just coming to church doesn't mean you're keeping the Sabbath. Right? There's some things God told us to do and some other things he told us not to do. Don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet, don't do some things, but do some other things. And when we don't do or do either of those two statements, we are sinning before the Lord. And how many of you know you can be as righteous as you think you are, but you still have committed sin? You cannot live this life without committing sin. And so you ought to be on your knees every day. Saying, Lord, forgive me for my sin. I know I'm a saint. I used to be a sinner, but I'm still making some mistakes. I'm grateful I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not everything I want to be. I'm still committing sin. Help me, Lord, and forgive me for my sin. I mean, you know, all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God, from the pulpit to the pew, from the top to the bottom, from the choir loft to the usher board. We all have sinned. I don't care if you got a reverend in front of your name, deacon in front of your name, trustee in front of your name, usher in front of your name, pastor in front of your name, you have still sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us need forgiveness. And therefore, you all are recipients of His mercy. You didn't get what you should have gotten. Come on, somebody. I should have been dead and gone, but God allowed me to make it. I shouldn't have made it out of South Central LA, but God allowed me to make it. I shouldn't have got through college, but God allowed me to make it. I shouldn't have been the pastor of the Shiloh Baptist Church, but God allowed me to make it. I shouldn't have been healed from that cancer, but God gave me some mercy. I should have been in jail. I should have been locked up. I should have been dead. But God gave me mercy. Somebody ought to say thank God for His mercy. Some of that is grace, but a lot of it is mercy. And the Bible says His mercy endures forever. We ought to be praising God right there, because His mercy endures forever. And so the psalm writer understands, I got to praise God because of His mercy. And he goes on to say in verse 13, I want you to not miss this. He says in 13, or verse 11 and 12, he says, they surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord, I would destroy them. Verse 12, they surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For the name of the Lord, I would destroy. And then he goes on to personalize it. You have pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. See, it's one thing to tell other folks about your enemies. They have done this to me. But the psalm writer is encouraging himself. How many of you know every now and again you've got to encourage yourself? You've got to remember that the Lord is Jehovah Nisi. He'll fight your battles. The Bible says, the psalm writer said, they surrounded me, as if he is descriptively telling somebody else about what somebody else have done. But every now and again you got to stop telling about what they have done and start speaking to your enemies. He now turns the tense of the phrase to say, you have done violently to me. I want you to know how you have tried to kill me. I want you to know how you have tried to destroy me. But every time you did what you did, the Lord came around and helped me. Every time you knocked me down, the Lord picked me up. Every time you kicked me down, the Lord picked me up. Every time you stabbed me in the back, the Lord picked me up. Has anybody ever spoken to your enemies and told them you tried to destroy me? Yeah. But the Lord helped me. My God, if that's not an example of His mercy. The fact that you are still here. Yeah. You're sitting in your pew right now, aren't you? You're standing on your feet right now, aren't you? You're playing the organ right now, aren't you? You're sitting in the choir loft right now, aren't you? You've got your deaconess hat on, don't you? You're standing on the door right now, don't you? That means God gave you some mercy. Because you're still here. Despite what they did, God helped you.
Yes, He did.
The songwriter says, I've got sense enough to understand that I've got to praise Him for His mercy.
Yes.
Then I want you to go to verse 22, because now it turns. It turns. What do you mean, preacher, that it turns? It turns because it's one thing when we realize that we ought to praise Him for the blessings that He's given us. When the enemies tried to destroy you, he quenched it. When they tried to kill you, He saved you. But it's another thing now when it's not them, but you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through. It's easy to blame them, but sometimes we bring some things on ourselves. Everybody not after you as you might think you think. Every now and again, you've made some mistakes, and you've not been obedient to the Lord's will. Now you've got to walk in the tension of this, because you don't think that everything negative is because you did it. And don't think everything negative is because they're trying to kill you. Every now and again, God says, I'm going to allow some rain to fall in your life in order that you might become stronger. You've heard my sister Nikki said when she preached Women's Day, the little turtles that the mother turtle gives hatch to have to learn how to struggle in the sand to get to the water. Because if you just put them in the water without them developing their fins and struggling through the sand, they would not know how to survive once they get into the water. So it takes the sand to struggle through the sand to learn how to swim in the ocean. Y'all not getting that, are you? I'm grateful every now and again the Lord allows me to go through some struggle so I can develop my spiritual muscles so that when I get into the water, I know how to swim. I know how to direct myself. I know how to dive deeper or go up higher, because I developed my muscles in the sand. And so every now and again, God might allow me to go through some good and some bad. Every now and again, the Lord might allow me to go through rejection and acceptance. That's why Psalm 22 turns. It says in verse number 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in His sight. And I ask myself, what's the this? The this is the rejection. How can rejection be marvelous? Ask yourself the question. Folk don't like you. How can that be marvelous? Folk trying to destroy you. How can that be marvelous? Folk talking about you like a dog, calling you every name but was a child of God. How can that be marvelous? You just got your pink slip on your job. How can that be marvelous? You just got diagnosed with breast cancer or prostate cancer. How can that be marvelous? You're going through some trials in your marriage. How can that be marvelous? You got some issues with your children. How can that be marvelous? The question becomes, how do you see the circumstances through which you are traveling right now? What is your perspective? And if you understand that the Lord is still on the throne. Now, I'm not talking about this devilish, demonic, dastardly stuff that's happening. I picked up the paper and read in the paper today that another young man was murdered here in the city of Trenton. A 23-year-old young man was gunned down on Rosemont Avenue. And listen, I'm not saying that that is marvelous in the Lord's sight. That's demonic. And we've got to call the devil a liar. But what I am trying to say, that the Lord is still on the throne. And no matter how demonic your situation might get, how devilish your situation might become, I want somebody to know today that the Lord is able to straighten out your crooked places. That the Lord is able to smooth over your rough places. I need somebody today to know that this is still the day that the Lord has. has made. I know the devil is busy, but the devil is a liar. I know that there are demons all around you, but the demons are defeated. This is the day. I need somebody to stand on your feet and say, this is still the day that the Lord has made. I made up in my mind. I'm still going to rejoice. I'm still going to lift my hand. I'm still going to praise my God. I'm still going to give him glory. I'm still going to give him honor. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning, blood running in my veins, mind clothed in my right mind. This is still the day that the Lord has made. Anybody understand the distinction? We're here anyway. This is still another day. But you should not just take it as another day. As much hell as I'm going through, as much Sheol as I've been through, I'm still here, and this is still the day. I've got another chance. I got a third chance. I got a fourth chance. I got another chance. This is the day. It might be the day of my breakthrough. I don't know. But it's still the day. It might be the day of my deliverance. I don't know. But I'm still going to praise him. I don't know if my enemies going to leave me alone today. But this is still. When you wake up in the morning, you don't know what's going to happen on this day. But I can tell you, as much as I'm standing here, it'll be a better day if you made up in your mind, I'm going to praise him anyhow. It'll be a better day if you said, I'm going to give him glory anyhow. It's going to be a wonderful day. But you got to make up in your mind, what kind of day are you going to make it? And what kind of day has the Lord ordained for you? And what's phenomenal about the text is that the builders rejected the stone, but it became the cornerstone. Even when your enemies reject you, God will take you and put you in the cornerstone. You do know what the cornerstone is, don't you? It is the stone in which everything else is built around. It's the stone on which the building is set. It's the stone upon the which the foundation is laid. You become the cornerstone of a better blessing than what your enemies have tried to design for you. God will take your rejection and take you, the rejected one, and put you in a place of honor and distinction. I've been in some situations where the folk left me for dead, y'all. But when they looked up, God was building another building, not made with hands, and all I had to do was just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But while I was standing, I was praising. While I was waiting, I was praising. While I was holding on, I was praising. While I was on my knees, I was praising. While I was going through the valley, I was praising. When I was on the rough side of the mountain, I was praising. So I made up in my mind, though no matter what the day looks like, it is still the day the Lord has made, and I'm still going to rejoice and be glad because it's marvelous. Listen, it's marvelous what your enemies try to do to you. Because God can turn that thing around and use it for his glory. It becomes marvelous how God works a miracle out of
out of your situation, it becomes marvelous. How God takes your sick body and makes you well, it becomes marvelous. And so God's mercy, whether I brought it on myself, whether they tried to destroy me, God's mercy allowed me to survive. But his mercy also turned into something marvelous for my benefit and for God's glory. And then I want to end how I always say this is the anatomy of the psalm. How the psalm is structured, how it's broken up, how the verses go together. The anatomy of the psalm. And at the end of the psalm, the psalm writer says, he personalizes this, and he says, God is my God. He says in verse number 27, God is the Lord. But he goes on to say in verse 28, you are my God. I will praise you. You are my God. I will exalt you. And I need someone here today to learn how to personalize your relationship with the Lord. I know that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But if God hasn't become your God, then you don't have a relationship. I know that God is the God of your grandmama and your granddaddy. But if God hasn't become your God, you don't have a relationship. I know that God is the God of the Shiloh Baptist Church. But just because I go there doesn't mean I know him for myself. Mother Dukes, you've got to have a personal relationship with God. You've got to hold on that relationship to say, if God doesn't bless anybody else, I know what he's done for me. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know like I know how he set me free. God is my God. He's done something for me. Amen. If he's not done anything for you, I'm sorry. Amen. But he's done something for me. If I had 10,000 tongues, I wouldn't be able to thank him enough. But all I can say is what the psalm writer says. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for the Lord is good. Has anybody figured out that the Lord is good? I'm going to thank him in the morning. I'm going to thank him in the noonday. I'm going to thank him in the evening. I'm going to thank him when I'm sick. I'm going to thank him when I'm well. But more than thanking him, I'm going to praise him because he's worthy to be praised. The psalm writer ends the way he begins, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And I just want to say as I close, not only must he become personal, but you must thank him before the breakthrough. And you must praise and thank him after the breakthrough. Listen, Psalm 118, verse number 14 says this. Look at the text. It says in verse number 14, the Lord is my strength and my song. It is believed that that verse is taken from a song that Moses and the Israelites sang on the other side of the Red Sea. When they were on this side of the Red Sea, there was a water in front of them. There was obstacles on either side of them, and there was Pharaoh's army behind them. Moses didn't know how he was going to escape. And God says to Moses, stretch out your hand over the Red Sea, over the obstacle that's in front of you. And I need somebody to learn how to stretch out your hand when you're facing obstacles and challenges in your life. Stretch your hand over the Red Sea, God told Moses, and I don't know how it happened, but the waters began to part. And the Bible says that there was a wall of water to Moses' right and a wall of water to Moses' left. And they were able to walk through the Red Sea on dried land. And when they got over onto the other side, the Bible says that the water came caving down and drowned all of Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. You know that song we used to sing in Sunday school? Pharaoh's army got drowned in the Red Sea. But when they got over on the other side, the Bible says that Moses and the people began to sing a song. And the words of the song were listed in verse number 14. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. And I'm so glad that when I go through my challenges, and when I go through my obstacles, when I get over on the other side, I open up my mouth and I look back and wonder how I made it over. And I begin to sing like Moses is saying, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my salvation. I thank you, God, and I praise you, God. But how many of you know, although it doesn't say it in the text, I believe you got to learn how to praise him before the Red Sea opens, so that when you sing on the other side, it becomes an even sweeter song. And so now I'm practicing. Listen, I'm not perfect, neither of us are, but I'm practicing how to sing my song before my breakthrough. When I come to my obstacle, I'm practicing how to sing my song. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for the Lord is good before my breakthrough. The Lord is worthy before my breakthrough. The Lord is able before my breakthrough. The Lord is exalted before my breakthrough. Come on, somebody. I need you to be like Joshua and blow your trumpet and sing your song before the walls come tumbling down. For the Lord is worthy. Yes, he is. He's worthy. He's worthy. So the songwriter leaves us statements in the anatomy of this song to understand his mercy, to understand that no matter what I go through, God is still able to marvelously change it for his glory and my benefit. That at the end of the day, I've got to personalize this thing. God is my God. I'm not being selfish. I know he's big enough to go around, but he's my God. I've got a testimony. I've got a personal story. He's my God. And I'm going to give him thanks no matter what the situation is, no matter what the day looks like. You know how some folks say, how's your day going? Good day, bad day. Listen, every day is a day of thanksgiving, for the Lord has been good to me. This is the day. I need somebody to say, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice and still be glad in it. Somebody give God a praise offering on this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess, let me extend an invitation. Before we have the choir sing, hope someone understands the crux, the real crux to the statement. No matter what your day looks like, it's still the day that belongs to the Lord. You're going to have some bad days, and you're going to have some good days. To God be the glory. But no matter what the day looks like, this is still the day the Lord has made. And if the Lord made it, there's a chance, come on somebody, that my breakthrough and my blessing is going to come through on this day. And so I'm just going to praise Him until my breakthrough happens. And if my breakthrough never happens, that means I'm going to praise Him until I end my life on earth. Because this is the day of possibility. This is the day the Lord has made. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord for yourself, you don't have that personal relationship I've spoken about, I want to offer that to you, to someone today. I want to invite someone to come and to say, Lord, I've been doing it by myself, but I want to do it with You. I want to submit to You. I want to make You the Lord over my life. Go ahead and sing, gentlemen. As these men sing, two invitations: to come join the church, but more importantly, to give your life to the Lord Jesus. Anybody here today? Anybody here today?